Let's turn together to Psalm 119, where we continue in our meditations here. In verses 113 through 120, section Samech. Samech. Now, if you look at the bulletin, you can see I spelled it slightly differently. And it's all a question about a dot in the final letter that sometimes, well, that is called kaf. Does it have a dot or not? Well, I've spelled it with the dot. The New King James has spelled it with it not. In any case, let's look at this portion of Psalm 119, beginning at verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Now, every single one of these verses starts with some word that itself starts with this letter, Samech, which, children, has an S sound. There are a couple of different Hebrew letters that have this S sound. Why do they have the same thing? Well, you might wonder, in English, why do we have a letter C that either sounds like an S or it sounds like a K? Why do we even need it? Well, some people have wondered about that, but there we are. All right. Now, something else you might wonder about, particularly when we begin to sing this in our psalm book, Psalm 119p, it looks like a different translation. It looks like somebody might be wrong. We have here in our prose version, in the New King James, and the Old King James says the same thing as well, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Actually, the Old Scots version of the metrical psalms reflects this. But we begin singing Psalm 119, the men of double mind I hate. What's going on here? The problem is we have the very first word here in the Hebrew is a word that is seen nowhere else. And scholars have tried to figure out exactly what it means. It's either I hate vain thoughts, or it is I hate the double-minded. All right? I hate vain thoughts, or I hate the double-minded. And, okay, I messed up. What we have here in the New King James is the same as our current psalm book. But in any case, it's just like if someday, if Jesus does not return, let's say, for thousands of years, and scholars have lost much of what we have, and they run into the word hippopotamus, and they've never seen it before, except they recognize it looks like Greek, and so they do some tracing it out. And in Greek, it means a river horse. And so someone might think, well, this is talking about some kind of special horse that's used for, like, retrieving ducks or something like that, you know? And it gets wet, so it's a river horse. No, says another scholar, we know that there was a kind of fish that they called a seahorse that lived in the ocean. Maybe it's a freshwater thing of that sort. And they'd both be wrong. We know what a hippopotamus means. The ancient Hebrews knew what this meant. Scholars today try to figure it out, and they're in the ballpark here with either vain thoughts or vain-minded men. In either case, we have here in this section a contrast between the love of God's law that the psalmist has with a hatred and a wanting to stay away and be separated away from sin and the influence, the bad influence of sinners. This, of course, is an attitude that we as believers have more and more. Once we delighted in the company of fellow sinners, once we delighted in our sin, but no longer do we do so because we're in Jesus Christ. We have new hearts, we have new desires, we have new associations, don't we? Once, I mean at a very deep level, we were associated, we might say, that's a nice way of putting it, we were enslaved to a cruel master, enslaved to the devil, enslaved to sin. But now we are made children of God, and we have new hearts that have new hopes, they have new desires, they have new aspirations. They love holiness now and desire to be parted from sin. Who of us that does not love who of us that loves the Lord Jesus Christ does not hate the remaining sin within us? Who does not share with me a desire to be more and more holy? Who does not weep along with me when you are faced with sin once again? And we are all that way because of Jesus Christ. These words should be echoing in here. The same with the psalmist, shouldn't they? This is only because of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom this describes perfectly. Now, on one level, of course, he loves sinners. He brings sinners to himself. He has lived in the place of sinners. He has died for sinners. He is raising sinners to life. He intercedes for sinners. He brings them through his Spirit to justification and adoption, sanctification, ultimately to glory, well, almost ultimately, to glory, and then ultimately to the resurrection with himself. Jesus does this for sinners, but they are his chosen sinners, loved before time. They are the ones who have come to him. From others who are condemned, others whom he allows to go on, in fact, the whole Trinity in their council have decided to leave, to go on and do what they want, them he hates and them he is separate from. He wants to be having himself holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And he desires for his people to be that way as well. He is beautifying his bride, and that includes every one of you who are in him. So, we see here, there's one other thing I wanted to really concentrate on, and it's in this very first verse that we've already concentrated on somewhat. How do we translate that? But it's the second line there. But I love your law. Our Lord Jesus loved the law of his Father. The theologians often talk about a threefold division of the law of God. There is the moral, there is the ceremonial, and there is the civil. Our Lord Jesus loved the moral law, which is summarily comprehended, as our catechism says, in the Ten Commandments. He loved the moral law because it reflected the person and the holiness of his Father in heaven. Still does. Our Lord Jesus loved the ceremonial law because it was a picture of him and the wonderful saving work he was doing and would get completed at the cross. And he loved the civil law because, at least for the people of Israel, and in many ways for all the nations of the world, it shows how that moral law applies in different cases here in our own life. He loved the law. He kept the law to the uttermost part, that he might have perfect righteousness, and we'll look at this more in the sermon in a few moments. But he loved and kept that law, and he puts in his children that same love. It starts as a little seed, but it grows and grows. And as they, as we, as you love him more and more, you do hate sin more and more and want to be separate from it. All this from the work of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to sing now Psalm 119p. The tune, for what it's worth, is one that I like very well. Your mileage may vary, but the words are very good, and they express so very well the thoughts of our hearts are in Jesus, and they express the thoughts of the Word become flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119p.